All right, everybody, welcome to episode one of Podcasts on the Edge of Forever, a show dedicated to all things Star Trek, the universe of Star Trek. My name is Paul Brooks.
I'm Dawn Sienna Moon.
And we are your hosts for the show. Welcome to the podcast. We're really excited to do this. Dawn and I are both pretty big fans of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Except for Enterprise.
Except for Enterprise. I feel like if we even attempt to get into that tonight, we're just going to go off on a tangent. So maybe we should...
We'll never talk about anything else.
I thought maybe at the top of the show, it'd be a good idea to just real briefly introduce ourselves. Would you like to start?
Sure. So I'm Dawn Sienna Moon, and I am a singer-songwriter, and a tribal belly dancer, and mm-hmm. a web designer, and a host of other random things that pop up periodically. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of acting background. I'm a huge nerd. I blame my dad for this. I've been watching Star Trek literally ever since I can remember.
Yeah, me too.
Probably since the age of five or something like that.
Same here, yeah. May I?
Yeah.
My name is Paul Brooks. I am a videographer by day. I videotape stuff. I videotape a lot of weddings, various events. Actually, how I met you mm-hmm. was I got hired to do behind the scenes on a movie that you had a small role in. Mm-hmm. Again, like you, I started watching it when I was a very small boy. I would go over to my grandma's house for the day when my parents were working and, you know, veg out in front of the TV. So, I mean, I remember watching episodes like 3, 4, 5 years old. Like I was...
So was this your instigation or was this like your parents showed you Star Trek on
no,
TV
no,
or
all
you just
me.
Found it?
Yeah, all me, to my knowledge. I don't believe there was any particular steering in that direction. I remember being very into it at a young age, although I was confused about Spock. I thought that Spock and Mr. Spock were two different people.
Mr. Spock is the evil Spock, you know, the one with the goatee.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I had a few things to figure out, but definitely a fan from an early age. I'm always keeping up with Star Trek, and I'm always... I've been a fan, you know, really, I've fluctuated here and there, mm-hmm. But I've been a fan pretty much since I was a little boy. So, the way that, that we kind of discussed, last night of how we want to do this is, it's not going to be a super long show because we're not going to bore you to death for like 2-3 hours or anything like that, but we want to do one topic each. So, I bring a topic to the table, Dawn brings a topic to the table, and then we talk about each. It's kind of like show and tell. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get into topic number one of the night. I'm so excited about this. Honestly, this is like the reason that I wanted to start the podcast, is this story. This story gave me the idea to start a Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm.
Because he needed to voice his opinion about this
exactly.
in some forum that was semi-public.
Exactly. And now Dawn's going to voice her opinion about it.
Which is going to be the diametrical opposite, I think.
Michael Dorn tells Trek Movie that he will pitch a low-budget Star Trek straight-to-DVD movie featuring Captain Worf.
And so I'm listening to this saying, everything about this sounds like fail.
And everything, to me, sounds amazing. So I clicked on the article and read it, and here's what it says. It's like a little interview between TrekMovie.com and Michael Dorn. TrekMovie.com, so in your panel, you mentioned the idea of pitching a lower-budget Star Trek movie with Worf. Is that serious? Michael Dorn, I am serious. I think there's a place for it, straight to DVD or straight to cable. Who wouldn't want to have this kind of thing going on? It is going to help their movie. I assume he's talking about the J.J. Abrams franchise. Mm-hmm. The fans...
He can't stand not being in a Star Trek movie or in a series.
It's true.
You know, he has to be in two already.
That's true. The fans aren't going, we are going to see this movie, but we aren't going to go see the big movie in the theater. Trekmovie.com, do you have a writer lined up? Michael Dorn, I think I am going to write it. Trekmovie.com.
Another brilliant idea.
So where do you see Worf now? Michael Dorn, he is a captain of a ship, a Federation ship. He is out there in the front lines basically chasing terrorists. Trekmovie.com, so you want to make it edgier, darker? Michael Dorn, totally, totally. I think we will have some of our Star Trek people in it, but mostly new characters. It will be interwoven into the fabric of Star Trek and also what we're going through right now. And so what he's just wrapping up here, he says, I've already started writing the script, and excuse my language, but it's fucking great. Interesting.
Wow. Okay.
So
it kind of sounds like a fan movie, except made by Worf.
Well, you know, obviously it would be
low
like
budget,
you said, yeah,
straight
it'd be lower
to DVD.
Budget, but
he's writing it himself.
But here's the thing. I think
he's starring in it.
I think he, okay. Yes, it's very Worf-centric.
Sounds like, you know, Worf the Mary Sue.
To me, that's not a bad thing. I've always thoroughly enjoyed Worf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key here is that he's absolutely right when he says that this is something that people would want. I mean, you'd look me in the eye and tell me that you wouldn't watch this movie if it was on the Sci-Fi Channel. I would be there.
I would. Okay, I would watch
right.
it.
So
but
I think it's
profitable. I would not have high expectations for it.
That's fine. That's fine. But I think the point here is he's got something, because there never has been any type of Star Trek product that has gone straight to DVD or straight to cable. It's always been TV show or movies that have been in theaters,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. And a lot of other sci-fi franchises, Stargate and like Babylon 5 and all sorts of stuff, have this sort of straight-to-DVD, straight-to-cable thing going on, and Star Trek has never done that. So I think he really hit on something.
He hit on something in terms of it's a reasonable idea to produce from a budget standpoint and a making money standpoint. I don't think it's a reasonable thing to produce from a I would watch it for any reason other than to see him fail utterly. I mean, I wouldn't expect this to be good at all.
No love for Michael Dorn. Jeez Louise, Dawn.
He's not known as a writer. He's making an entire movie where he gets to be the star. I'm assuming he probably wants to direct it as well.
It's a possibility.
It just doesn't sound like a setup that I have confidence in mm-hmm. for producing something that's actually going to be solid and of good quality.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something that might be potentially really hilarious. I mean, we could Mystery Science Theater it.
I have to completely disagree with you. I really do. I think that, first of all, keep in mind that where the franchise is right now is obviously all about the J.J. Abrams
reboot.
Movie franchise,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, from what I've heard, is going to be a trilogy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what they're doing with Christopher Nolan's
Batman.
Yeah. Which is smart, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Trilogy sounds good. But think about it from this perspective. There are people in Hollywood who worked on Star Trek literally from 1987 to 2005. And probably without too much difficulty, you could bring some of the central characters back together, or I'm sorry, the central players in terms of the production.
Mm-hmm.
Your Rick Bermans, your... I don't want to say Brandon Braga because he shouldn't be involved with anything Star Trek related ever again. But, you know, the crew,
mm-hmm.
the people who worked on the show and made the series
what they
were.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, if you're making that argument, you might as well say every episode of Voyager was set up to be something really wonderful, which was clearly not the case.
No, absolutely not. But we're talking about a direct-to-DVD movie here. I think it's safe to say that the budget for something like that would be higher than one episode of Voyager. I think they could...
But I don't think Voyager's problem was budget. I mean, they had budget. Their problem was writing, directing, and acting. The
yeah.
essentials, I mean, they could have had no budget and still produced a compelling story. They failed to do that even with a very large budget.
You know, obviously, you're definitely... That's my phone.
That's entirely appropriate.
I forgot to turn it off, but that's okay. Oh, I'm a nerd.
It's okay. My phone does the Battlestar Galactica theme.
Really? Yeah. Awesome. That's when I get a text message. It's always the TNG doorbell.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good idea.
Got a little Star Trek app. Yeah, look, could it suck? Sure. It could suck. It could suck. Here's my thing. I love the Next Generation Deep Space Nine Voyager era of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite era of Star Trek. I'm confident in saying that it's a lot of people's favorite era of Star Trek.
Well, yeah, especially the Next Generation.
Right.
I think if you talk to anyone who is worthy of calling themselves a fan,
yeah.
Next Generation's going to be the favorite series, hands down.
Absolutely.
So there's a right answer for this.
So I think there's a lot of people out there who would be head over heels just to see something from that era again. You know.
Okay, so again, what does that... How does this separate from a fan film then? Because, I mean, fans really would love to see, I don't know, put any sort of Star Trek situation that's set up in Next Generation.
Yeah.
They would love to see that. People are willing to watch it, even if it's not so great. The budgets are low. I mean, the difference would be production quality, probably. Yeah. I'm assuming if Michael Dorn's doing it, he can get higher production quality. But aside from that, actually the difference?
Aside from that, CBS and Paramount would be involved. It would be an official canon, you know, product. I mean, it mm-hmm. wouldn't be this. It wouldn't be a fan film. It would be...
Well, but I mean, the distinction between a fan film, really, when it comes down to it, right, is... I mean, it's not just sort of who's behind it, but there tends to be a distinction in terms of quality.
Like, no, to me, the difference between... something that is part of the official Star Trek universe and something that is a fan film mm-hmm. is just that, is whether or not it's considered canon. Whether or not it's considered...
Star Trek screws up its own canon all the time. We know this. Star Trek really has, you know, like 10 sets of canon. Let's talk about warp drive.
Well, obviously there's going to be some inconsistencies here and there, but mm-hmm. you understand the difference between... something like Star Trek Phase 2, which is a fan series, and it's different people playing, like, Captain Kirk, and mm-hmm. it's like, you know, from... And something like this that would be official. I mean, obviously,
but there's a difference. But I feel like the result would not be necessarily so distinguishable.
I think, you know, with the type of technology that we have today, you can do... Battlestar Galactica is a fantastic example.
Mm-hmm.
Battlestar Galactica did not have a huge budget by any means.
Hmm.
They had a fraction of the budget of something like Lost.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
A sci-fi channel. I mean, it's cable. It's not... They just didn't have the money to throw around. They stretched the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
They knew how to make things look good for mm-hmm. the amount of money that they had. Now, obviously, they had fantastic actors, they had fantastic production team and all that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I'm concerned about is not so much what does this look like. I feel like you could probably assemble a team of people to make it look like Star Trek and feel like Star Trek that we're used to, at least from the TV series. Like, it probably wouldn't feel like a movie, that's fine. It'd probably be about the same production value as,
right.
you know, pick an episode that's just long.
Right.
Which the problem, I think, is really going to come down to acting, writing, directing.
Here's the deal. I'll compromise with you on this. I will give you this. You're entirely right in saying that it could totally suck because Michael Dorn is writing it. I don't know if he's a writer. I can't think of anything that I know of that he's written.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Maybe it's going to suck. My feeling is... I want to see it. If it's something that's going to happen, I'm going to watch it. You said that you're going
to
watch it.
I would watch it too. But again, I would probably expect to science it a little bit.
I think it could open the door for potential other things along this line. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's the sort of thing where people are still hungry for this era of Star Trek. It's very near... and dear to people's hearts. And I think that if
people saw this... I mean, but is it better to keep something near and dear to your heart that's kind of wonderful and pristine and good? Or is it better to just... I mean, it sort of becomes, I don't know, like artistic masturbation or something. You know, like, let's just give them this thing because they want it, even if it's not that great, because we know they'll take it.
there's a new season of Arrested Development coming out. They just continued the old TV show Dallas. It's nostalgia. There's certainly an element of nostalgia there, but to me, that's not a bad thing. To me, if you have characters that you love and you wish that you could see more of those characters in some situations, it's okay. I don't think I ever want to see the characters from Battlestar Galactica again because they
it felt complete.
Right. Yeah. There was a beginning, a middle, and an end to that story, and it's not the sort of thing where you need to see those characters again. Same thing with, like, Lost, you know?
I mean, so let's take something like Firefly. I love, love Firefly. I would love for them to produce more episodes, but at this point it's been, you know, what, 10 years? I'm not actually sure that it would be a good thing for us if they produced more Firefly. Because? As much as I would love to see more of it.
Because?
I feel like the dynamic has probably changed. I don't know if we as an audience would really be as okay as we think we are with them being older and thus having to... I mean, not because of their age, but older as in, you know, time would have had to progress.
Right.
Otherwise, it would just look awkward.
But that'd be okay, right? I mean,
I think so.
Serenity came
maybe
out...
Maybe depending on how they...
Serenity came out, like, basically right after Firefly, right? Or maybe, like, a year?
No, much later.
Really?
I think so.
But, you know, with Star Trek, it's wide open. I mean, for the most part, with the exception of a handful of characters, a few characters, really.
I mean, you could bring all the characters back, but would that be a good thing?
Let's talk about that, because this is one of the most interesting parts of the story here. He says... I think we will have some of our Star Trek people in it, but mostly new characters. I sort of like that. I like the idea of mixing old with new, because I think if it was just let's get the gang back together, and you know, that would be kind of lame. But the idea that it's a different sort of story and it's a different take on things slightly, I think it could be compelling. But if it was up to you, Dawn, who would you have be in the Captain Worf movie? I know it would be
in it.
Yeah, like I know for you it would just be nobody because you don't want it to happen. But if you had to, who would it be? You know, like if you could sort of do a little mix. Let's do six, okay?
Okay.
Let's do like you're at a Fire Tux and you're trying to do a mix and match six pack of beer. You have to pick six.
There's also a question of when they set this. Like, does he get Dax? Does he get Troy?
What time
is this taking place in?
My assumption would be that it would be sometime after Nemesis, or even sometime after the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, which started, the beginning of the movie was in the 2380s.
Well, I mean, it would have to be after that, because
not
that was the original series. Worf isn't that old.
No. At the beginning of the new movie, it's set in Nero's time, which takes place after Nemesis, right? In the 23, like, I think it's like 8 or 9 years after Nemesis. So that would work, because then you have Romulus is destroyed, and you have sort of a whole different, may have thrown the balance of the universe off a little bit. But let's say that in the six-pack... Michael Worf is one of the characters, and then you got to pick five other characters from the Star Trek universe. Can be anybody you want.
Okay, this is just for fun. This is not necessarily. I would think this would make a good movie because I don't know how all these people would get in the same place. Q would be really fantastic to see.
Q. That's a very interesting take on things. Bring Q
I
back.
Just like Q.
Oh,
so,
Q's
you know.
Great, yeah.
Who doesn't like Q?
Okay, so Q, you got four more then.
Ooh. I want Picard to be there just because I love Picard.
That's not going to happen.
No, he doesn't have to be the captain, right? Again, this is not the cast that would make a great movie.
Right.
I have no idea how you would assemble all of this. But hey, if we're just going to talk about, we want these guys to be in a movie.
Sure,
let's throw in Jean-Luc Picard.
Okay, cool. I like it.
Who doesn't want him to be there?
Maybe it's just like a conversation that he has with Captain Worf at some point. You know, maybe he's like on the Enterprise
guest appearance.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He can be an admiral at that point and give him some orders or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. That would work. All right, who else?
Odo might be randomly interesting.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah.
Just because he has possibilities of
yeah.
throwing him in various places.
He's always been one of my favorite Star Trek characters of mm-hmm. all time. So, such a compelling...
Gul Dukat.
Ooh, Gul Dukat. So you're keeping... It seems like, other than Picard, you're keeping everything fairly DS9 centralized so far.
Well, no, Q. Q never showed up in DS9.
Yeah, I think one episode. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Forget this somehow?
I can't even remember.
I remember a Q Voyager episode. I do not remember
Q was
DS9.
Q was on like several Voyager episodes and I think one DS9. If any DS9 nerds are listening, they can speak
correct
more
us
about
or
it.
Not.
I'm almost positive it was one episode, yeah.
Okay.
We can look it up real quick if you want.
Yeah, we should.
All right.
Well, I'm a little disturbed if I've forgotten this.
You think about who else?
Who else gets to be on there?
Yeah.
Let's throw in the Borg Queen. No, let's throw in Hugh.
Oh, Hugh.
Yes.
Wow. So
I
far,
have no idea how you would bring all these people
this
together.
This is going to be
It'd
a
be terrible,
Q,
but...
Hugh, terrorist. Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
Actually, this would be a really great writing exercise for someone.
It would.
Here, let me give you a cast. Make this actually work.
Yes.
And let me believe it.
So, okay. So, Worf, Picard, Q, Hugh.
Gul Dukat,
and Odo. I think that's seven, but that's okay.
It'd be a little bizarre.
Yeah, that would be very
If anybody
bizarre.
Would try to write the script and would like to do that, and you can make it not fail, please send it my way. Or actually, if you make it fail, as long as it fails in a really funny way, we will plug you on this and maybe read some of your script on the podcast.
Gul Dukat kidnaps Hugh, and Odo must find a way to... I don't know.
To infiltrate the collective by appearing as though he is a Borg.
On a planet called Brax, Q was known as the God of Lies. Deep Space Nine episode called Q-less.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do I not remember this?
Let's see what's...
I know DS9 was a little forgettable at points, but...
Here and there, sure, but... episode 107.
Huh.
That can't be right, is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember now. It's, Vash is on the program.
Oh.
And it's when they, sort of start traveling together. Her and Q travel, like, the galaxy together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I do remember this.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is going to be the next thing that hits the Q of... The Q!
Clearly. Well, that's a pretty, interesting cast that you've assembled. If I may briefly assemble my cast for the Worf, I'm sure it would just be called Star Trek Captain Worf. You know it would. You know that'd be the title of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's see.
I shall reserve commentary.
So this is the thing with me. I love crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
I love like stuff like this when Q is on Deep Space Nine and you know. Janeway was in Star Trek Nemesis, and like the Doctor was.
Although
in
Janeway,
contact.
You know, the best thing about Janeway is when we can kill her off.
Yeah,
happened about once a season. Okay.
So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna say, Worf obviously is my first guy because it has to be, and then I'm gonna say that his first officer. Is Harry Kim from Voyager.
Oh, poor Harry Kim, who's an ensign for how many years?
Right? The whole show.
Poor
he never
guy.
Got a promotion.
I know.
So we're going to bring
him. And he also
him.
Got to be as green on the last day of the show as he was on the first day of the show, even though he went through all these things that should have allowed his character to, I don't know, grow and develop.
He got the shaft.
He really did.
Big
poor
time.
Harry.
So we're going to reward him for all his hard work and never getting a promotion by making him Commander Kim.
Has he acted in anything since Garadon?
Oh, I'm sure he's probably been in some stuff, but he's actually really involved in Star Trek like conventions. Huh. He like hosts panels and like moderates panels and stuff like that a lot. And he seems like a really cool guy. He's actually mm-hmm. really critical of Voyager. Like if you ever see him talking about Voyager, he just Like,
well, he should be, given, again, the problem with his character just discussed.
But it was the powers that be. It was like Rick Berman and people mm-hmm. who were like keeping a tight grip on things and not allowing them to happen as they should have.
Well, and I mean, to be fair, as an actor, you really have no say in
right.
most of what goes on anyway.
Exactly.
And he did an admirable job with what he had.
Exactly. And so he voices his frustration that he didn't get to do enough with his character mm-hmm. because they were constantly like reeling everybody in. It's mm. really strange. We should talk about it sometime. But let's see, who else do I want to have? Gotta have Reg Barkley in there. I love me some Reg Barkley. You know?
Can we have a transporter accident, please?
Yes, sure. Why not? Gotta throw him in the mix there. How about, you know what? Maybe Nog is on the ship. Maybe a little Nog action on the ship. And then, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. I need two more. I'm going to go with...
You know you want Wesley Crusher.
I do not want Wesley Crusher. He might say yes.
Poor Will Wheaton. He'd probably say yes.
He's out there somewhere traveling with the Traveler, I think, last time we checked. Although yeah. he was at the wedding in Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just stopping in and visiting.
You know, I have to see Mom and everybody else sometime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's go with... Oh, what's his name? Who was the... The barber on The Next Generation.
Oh.
The guy with blue skin.
Yeah. I remember him. What's I don't his remember name? His name, though.
No, that's not mm-hmm. him. I think it's Mott. Yep.
Yeah.
Mott.
Actually, I think I had a card for him in the Star Trek CCG back in the day.
Nice. So Mott's hanging out. He trims Worf's hair every now and then
mm-hmm.
on the ship. I mean, the captain's got to have nice-looking hair.
And Worf has a lot of hair.
He does, yeah. I like when it got longer, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the
you see more Klingon.
Yeah, in the first couple seasons it was too short. And then I think maybe I'll throw in a quick cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Would be nice. Maybe someone from TNG would be nice. You know what? Let's throw in Captain Riker. Mm. Maybe they get into a battle and Captain Riker
we'll fight over Troy again.
No, Troy is on the Titan with Riker.
She doesn't have to be there for them to
for
fight
them to
over
fight.
Her.
Yeah. But no, at the end of Nemesis, Riker gets his own command. So mm-hmm. him and Worf are doing battle together
mm-hmm.
on their respective ships. I think that would be fun. So Worf, Harry Kim, Commander Kim, Reg Barkley, Nog, Mott... And Captain Riker in a cameo.
Okay.
That'd be fun, right?
That'd be fun.
I'm telling you, I want this thing to happen. Captain Worf has to happen. Don hates me. Okay. All right, let's move on to your topic. We've spent enough time ranting about Captain Worf, so what have you got for us tonight?
This can actually be short. It's mostly a plug. A project that I have been working on.
It sounds and looks very interesting, so people should definitely check this out.
It's called Rocks Geek, and it's a geek belly dance and fire show, which I'm super excited about, and there will be a battle between a Klingon and a Starfleet officer. And
sweet.
We actually, this is brand new, I haven't even stuck this on the website yet. A Klingon band is going to be performing.
Really?
There is a Klingon band called Al Troubadour.
Wow.
And they're going to come to the show and play some music.
So I assume that they're dressed as Klingons?
As Klingons. it's going to be epic.
Do they play... What do they play Klingon
I'm
music?
I'm honestly a little fuzzy on what it is they do exactly. Mm-hmm. This was... So the girl who really wanted to be a Klingon for the show just got a hold of me and said, oh, by the way, I've gotten this Klingon band to come and be part of this.
That's awesome.
So I said, okay, that sounds great. I think they do play Klingon music. They do sing in Klingon. Apparently, they also have a repertoire of Star Wars songs that they can do, too, but they're not doing that for this.
Okay,
but so... they will be dressed as Klingons, and as far as I know, singing Klingon music
that
in
sounds,
Klingon.
That sounds amazing. I'm so coming to that. And also, your stuff sounds fantastic as well. You have all sorts of cool geek mashups in the show.
Yeah. Well, especially we did a photo shoot to promote the show where we did a mashup of. So I was the TARDIS. I was a belly dancing TARDIS, if you can possibly imagine what that looks like. There's a full photo gallery. If you like to, we'll throw up the link.
Yeah.
The nerd pod, the nerd blogs have gotten a hold of this, and it's been sort of spreading its way around on the internet, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, belly dancing TARDIS with a lightsaber, killing, you know, kind of a Xena sort of Roman warrior, and then we've got somebody with fire in the middle of the battle too. There will actually be fire at the show.
Really?
Yeah. So she's going to spin poi and do some fans.
Spin what?
Poi. So poi are, it's a basically like a ball, something very heavy on the end of like a chain or a rope, and there's two of them. And so the thing when you do this with fire, is when you're spinning this around, you end up looking like you're kind of inside a circle of fire, which is pretty neat. Hoping not to scare the theater too much.
Is it the same girl who was at your show?
Yeah, she was at my CD release party.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So she's also a huge nerd, actually. She organized a panel that I spoke at C2E2 recently.
That's awesome.
One of the songs there, it's basically a whole bunch of different things. So, you know, you get a song here, a song here, a song here. And it's the spectrum of geek stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Zelda song. It's a dubstep remix. So Link is going to come out and dance to that. We will have a Wookiee. Imagine a Wookiee wearing a belly dance costume and dancing.
That sounds frightening.
It should be hilarious. And there's another battle that's going to be, it's me and this other girl doing an Assassin's Creed song. And we have swords, so we'll be doing a little bit of sword stuff with that. But I mean, it's a dance thing.
Is it real swords?
They are real swords.
Ooh.
They're blunt, but they are actually real.
That sounds a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting, though. Who's going to be doing that with you?
CC.
CC.
Yeah. She's the other Asian girl who apparently everyone thinks we look alike, except for the people who can distinguish one Asian from another, because we don't look alike at all.
No.
But all these random people keep getting us confused.
No.
We look nothing remotely alike.
No.
It's just, oh, look, Asian girl who's a belly dancer. We don't all look the same, I swear. But the inspiration for the show was at some point late at night, I was Googling geek belly dance for whatever reason. You come up with a lot of very, very scary things, including Orion slave girls who think they can dance. Lots and lots of slave Leias.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Lots of slave Leias.
Yeah, you'll get that.
So most of the time it's a lot of skin and a lot of people who don't really move very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm in this belly dance troupe.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all people who are extremely good at what they do. And most of them are huge nerds. I could make use of this.
So like a light bulb went off. Why haven't we done this yet?
Exactly.
That's great. So in terms of Star Trek, are there going to be any bits that you're incorporating into the show? Or is it just the Star Trek band that's going to be at the show? And that's it in terms of Star Trek.
In terms of Star Trek, there's the Klingon band. And then there's a dancer who's going to be a Klingon.
Okay.
And she will actually be doing a drum battle versus a Starfleet officer.
Oh, that's right. You said that. Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
I think at the end we might have him pull out a phaser and shoot her and then just drag her off stage.
Nice.
There's also been discussion of doing a little bit of an Avengers thing and Shroma at the end. Because that
Troma?
Was
Shroma?
Shroma? Have you seen The Avengers?
No.
What? Paul calls himself a nerd.
I'm not big on comics. I'm not big on comics. I haven't seen any of the comic movies.
It's good.
I've heard amazing things about it. I'm sure I'll check it out. I have Thor on my Netflix queue, so I'll watch that. I'm a big Natalie Portman fan.
That's a whole other discussion that's outside of the realm of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll just wait.
Because she has not yet appeared on Star Trek.
No, I would assume that she wouldn't be doing that anytime soon.
Yeah, well, maybe in the movies. She's done Star Wars. She could do them all.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that sounds awesome. People should definitely click on the link below and check it out because there's a really great photo gallery,
mm-hmm.
and there's information about the show, and you can buy tickets. Obviously, if you're not in Chicago or the Chicagoland area, that's the only place that it's playing currently, although I hear that you have some interest elsewhere.
A promoter from Portugal mm-hmm. randomly got a hold of me and wants to bring us over to Lisbon. Now, I don't know if this is going to work. It's going to be incredibly expensive to fly us all over. But if it did, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Oh, and another Star Trek related thing. There is a bar inside the theater. And so I'm making up a list of cocktails that are geek themed,
uh-huh.
including a Romulan ale.
Oh!
So you can actually drink Romulan ale.
I know what I'm drinking. Probably four or five of them if, if I know me. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
Romulan ale is blue.
It is.
Yeah.
Bright blue.
I think most people, you think that it should be like green. I always think that it should be green.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, because don't Romulans have green blood? Like Vulcans?
Mm-hmm.
So you think that, I don't know, for some reason I associate that.
You like to drink something that's blood-colored?
Yeah.
Do you like drinking things that are red?
All the time. All the time.
Oh, and there's a costume contest. So
Ooh.
If anybody would like to come out
really?
In their favorite Star Trek uniform.
Now, how mad would you be at me if I just at some point sort of randomly walked onto the stage as an Orion slave girl and started dancing with that?
That might be kind of hilarious.
I'll think about it. I don't really have the body type for it, but...
But that would be what would make it great.
Yeah, yeah. Just sort of wander
on stage. If anyone would like to contact Paul...
Yes.
...and tell him he needs to do the Orion Slave Girl...
Leave a comment below.
I would like to see him all in green and...
scantily clad.
Essentially in a bikini.
You're gonna regret that.
I probably will.
Yeah. I'm really excited about... When is it?
It's August 3rd and 4th. It's two nights. It's Friday and Saturday at 11 p.m. Viaduct Theater in Chicago.
Cool. How long is the show?
About 90 minutes, including intermission.
Uh-huh. Sounds great. Make sure you guys check out the link to that, and all the other links that we talked about are posted right down below, so you can click on any of that if you want to. The link to the Michael Dorn Captain Worf movie, which everyone is really excited about, except for Don.
And by everyone, Paul means himself.
No. I think it's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be very profitable. Mark my words.
I think it will be profitable.
Yes.
I do not doubt that part.
Okay.
I think someone will produce it because they will make money.
Right. Yeah.
Good is another question entirely.
I hope it happens because it's going to be really anticlimactic if we've talked about all this and then nothing comes of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean? So hopefully one of these days it'll happen. Well, thanks for joining us on our first episode of the podcast. I hope it was entertaining for you. I had a good time.
It was certainly entertaining for us.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Hopefully on the next episode of Podcast on the Edge of Forever, we are going to have a very special guest, Don Thacker, who is a film director and used to work on Voyager. We've talked about him on about being on the show, and he said, please, can we do it? Please. So he's excited. We just need to get the three of us together and sit down. So hopefully that'll happen soon.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, I'm Paul Brooks.
I'm Don Sianamoon.
And
thanks a lot for listening.
Thanks for listening. Live long and podcast. Maybe we won't use that. I don't know. Maybe we'll use that. Maybe we won't. I don't know.